Is it interesting, or is it not interesting, that the same generation that wants his own rights is making the druggist and the psychiatrist rich? Isn't it interesting that the same generation that is completely wrapped up in self spends most of its time trying to escape itself? Isn't it interesting that the people in this generation who talk about, I want my way, I want my way, and are wrapped up in self, take more dope to escape self, drink more liquor to escape self, take more pills to escape self, go to more movies to escape self, watch more television to escape self than any other generation in history? The truth is, we are wrapped up in ourselves and we have lost our lives thereby. I do not know who the most miserable person in this room is, but I know whoever he is, he lives for himself. I do not know tonight who's happy and young people unhappy. I do not know. But I know one thing, if tonight you're not happy, it's because you're selfish. And tonight, if you are truly happy, I mean the kind of happiness that'll be there tomorrow morning on Monday, the kind of happiness that'll change Blue Monday to a Gold Monday, if you have genuine, lasting happiness, it's because you have forgotten yourself. For our Savior said, he whosoever shall find his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Years ago, when I was a teenage lad, I read a great deal. In fact, I found myself, I read more books when I was a teenager than I have read any other time in my life. I had more time. But I read, oh my, I'd often read a book a day for a month. I'd go to the church library or the public library. The one book that had a profound influence on my life, and I'm not sure if it's a good book or not. I'm not sure I could even recommend it now. I do not know if the book was scriptural. I'm not even sure if it was fundamental or liberal. But the title arrested me when I was thumbing through the books in the library at the Hillcrest Baptist Church one day. The title was, Try Giving Yourself Away. Try Giving Yourself Away. Now, whether the book is profitable for study or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know is that it taught me a philosophy that has really influenced my life. Try giving yourself away. Forget yourself. Don't worry about yourself. Don't think about yourself. Be concerned more of the needs of others than the needs of yourself. The happiness of others than the happiness of yourself. The joy of others than the joy of yourself. Lose yourself, and you will find what you were seeking had you tried to find yourself. Joy is elusive, only coming to those who do not seek it. I've said this so often. Joy, happiness, peace, satisfaction, all of those things are never found by those who seek them. I often notice books, 15 Ways to Be Happy. I'm sorry, you'll never be happy looking for it. How to Have Peace of Mind. I'm sorry, you'll never have peace of mind by trying to get peace of mind. Happiness, peace, joy, contentment, all of these attributes are byproducts of losing yourself and forgetting them for yourself. When you introduce happiness to others, happiness introduces itself to you. Happiness slips up on your hind side when you're introducing it to somebody else. Happiness never says yes to a proposal. Happiness never says yes to those who seek it. Happiness comes on you and knocks on your door and says, here I am, when you forget to be happy yourself and quit worrying about your own happiness. Now, lose yourself. Lose yourself. The great secret of the Christian life, lose yourself. Lose yourself. Lose yourself. In three things. In the first place, lose yourself in a person. And that person is Jesus. Lose yourself in a person. It is said that all the world loves a lover. I'm not sure that's true, but to say the least, there is something very refreshing about finding someone who forgets himself because he's wrapped up in a person. You see him walking down the street. Couple, look at each other. They bump into telephone poles. They don't know anybody else is around. They have that bilious look in their faces and on their faces. I marry folks sometimes like that. It's refreshing to me to form a ceremony for somebody who doesn't realize anybody else is here. Sheila, I say, repeat these words after me. And I, John Doe. And he looks at her and says, I, John Doe. And she smiles at him. And she, take thee, Mary Peabody. Take thee, Mary Peabody. To my wedded wife. To my wedded wife. They don't know anybody else is there. And they get that drool running down their face. And then they start to kiss. Now, to be quite frank with you, when Stan kissed yesterday, it was not really the latest thing. I mean, it left something to be desired. But I don't mean that he's not a good kisser. I mean, he just puckered sort of peculiarly when he was kissing. But when they kiss, they sometimes forget anybody else is here. And they're wrapped up in themselves. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, nobody ever accomplished anything great till he lost himself in an idea. Lose yourself. Lose yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. In a person, two Frenchmen living in London, England, for years, discussed the possibility of becoming citizens of England. And though these were Frenchmen, they thought about becoming citizens of England. One of the Frenchmen decided to become a citizen of England. The other one decided not to do so. So after he became a citizen of England and was naturalized and was accepted as a citizen of England, the Frenchman who was not a citizen of England said, do you feel any different now that you become a citizen? You're a Frenchman as a citizen of England. Boys back in the back, listen to me while I'm preaching. Hey, fella, listen to me while I'm preaching. I want you to sit still. You young folks, I want you to hear what I have to say. You can do your lesson some other time, but I want you to hear me when I preach. I'm trying to help you and give you a life-changing something that will transform your life. And I want you to listen to what I've got to say. And let me say this. Don't you visitors get your fur all up because I call down the young people. I mean, if you don't like that, go to some little compromising church where the young people can do what they want to do and run the church. But this country is going to hell tonight because the young people are running the show. And you don't have to like it, but you've got to put up with it while you're here. That's all there is to it. You say, well, we'll get up and walk out. Well, the doors are all open as far as I know. And if they're not, we'll open them for you. But I'm weary and I'm sick. I'm sick of the principals of our high school letting the kids run the show. And the teachers letting the kids run the show. Somebody needs to grab a hold of our young people. Moms and dads ought to do it. Maybe some of you moms and dads ought to go home and say, stay out here. You sit up and listen when you go to church. Last Wednesday night, Terry Smith was preaching. And eight of them, sitting together. And they're young people that have been in trouble before, sitting together. One of the finest folks we have in our church said, we were humiliated. And right behind those young people, there sat some visitors who had driven for probably 1,000 miles to visit First Baptist Church of Hammond and to find out what makes us tick. And they sat beside eight hoodlums who made fun. And one of the finest ladies in our church said she was humiliated and embarrassed about it. It's time some of you parents went home and sat your kids down and said, you're going to behave when you go to church. If they won't behave, you set them right beside you. You say, what do they behave? Kill them! And I mean it. You'd be a lot better off to kill them now than let them someday have a life of misery that they're headed for because you parents won't stand behind the pastor when he preaches and stand behind this thing of behaving in church. We got some folks that are going to go to the devil as sure as I'm standing here if we don't reach out and grab these kids and say, you listen to me! Now, you may get by with it at home, and you may get by with it somewhere else, but you don't get by with it here. You just won't do it. You say, well, you may get fired from this church. You go right ahead. But the last thing I'm going to do is say, sit still when I walk out that door. Lose yourself. By the way, that's what I'm doing right now. I mean it. Lose yourself. You get to a place where something means more to you than being loved and liked. You get to a place where something means more to you than having a pat on the back. You get the place where you lose yourself in a cause. And I'll get to that in the second point. But you lose yourself in a cause to where you'd be willing to die for something that you believe in. Amen. And where you'd take a stand regardless of the outcome, regardless of the criticism. Lose yourself. Forget yourself. Amen. Sure, I could be more popular if I'd ease up. Sure, folks would walk out this door and say, I like him. I've taken all the courses in psychology. And whether you know this or not, I can be a pretty winsome fellow when I turn on the charm. I took this girl's Proverbs 31 club, and I know how to sit. But I'm not trying to win friends and influence people. I'm trying to build character and influence lives and win souls. Lose yourself. Lose yourself in a person. But you say, for the hells, if I lost myself in Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be happy. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Back to this Frenchman. One Frenchman said to the other, do you feel it? How do you feel? Do you feel any different? Now that you have your citizenship papers of England. And the Frenchman, who had become an English citizen, said, I don't feel any different, except yesterday Waterloo was a defeat. Today is a victory. And that's what happens to the Christian life. When a person comes to a place to where he says, I'm not going to just sit on the bank and hang my feet in the water, but I'm going to jump in. I'm going to give Christ everything. I'm going to give him my life, my time, my money. All I have belongs to him. And you lose yourself in Jesus. You will find in the time you do that, that Waterloo becomes a victory and no longer a defeat. Years ago in the Orient, a ship left the Orient and sailed for distant shores. On that ship, there was a big cage of birds. Out in the ocean somewhere, one of the birds, wanting to leave the prison of the ship, got loose and soared out into the sky. I'm sure for a time that bird thought, if birds can think, I'm glad I'm not a prisoner anymore in that ship. But that bird soared out into the sky, but after hours and hours passed, somebody noticed the bird coming back and hunting for the ship. And that bird that once had thought of that ship as being a prison now thought of that ship as being a refuge and a haven. It was no longer a place of bondage. It was a place of security. It was no longer a place of slavery. It was a place of comfort, a place, a refuge from the storm. And that bird came and sought. That bird that once had said, I'll not be a slave, I'll leave the ship. Now the bird came back and sought refuge in a place of security. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you lose yourself in Christ, you're no slave. No, you're no slave. This thing, people say, well, I'll tell you what, I believe in being free. I am free. But brother, you wait till you've been out in the cold so long. You wait till you've left the security of the ship so long, and you've left the comforts and the security of the will of God and losing yourself in Christ for so long. You'll find this world is a mighty wicked old place. You'll find it offers no refuge. You'll find it offers no peace. You'll find it offers no joy. And you'll come back one of these days, if you've ever had a taste of the ship, you'll come back wishing you'd get back in. Now you listen to me. If there is a need tonight in this church, it's for our people to lose themselves in Jesus Christ. Just lose yourself in Christ. Just lose yourself in Christ. But you serve the house. It looks so drab. What would you do for fun? Why, if I couldn't listen to rock music and do a little jiggers and jaggers like that. Oh, good night. You're an idiot. You absolutely have lost all sense of values completely. There's no joy in it. We had more fun at the wedding yesterday than you having all those rock music festivals. Amen. Standing up here yesterday, trying to marry these folks, and began to think as the folks walked down the aisle of all the memories we share together. Remember the day when Marlene Henson came to my office, and she told me a sad, tragic story about how her husband had been working under the car, and the jack had fallen off, and that was holding up the car, and the car fell on his body and crushed him to death. And she went outside and found her husband dead under the car. She came and said, Brother Hiles, how in the world can I make a living? How can I feed my boys? And you'll forgive me, but for weeks and even several months, I do not mean to be act altruistic, but for weeks and several months, I saw to it that the food was in the house and tried to be a dad to those boys. And sat with her and planned her future. Time and time again she came. And the boys come to my office occasionally and say, Brother Hiles, can we borrow $5 for 2 weeks and so forth? Now, listen, don't come to my office wanting to borrow five tonight. I'm flat broke. I haven't got a dime. Every time I do this, boy, somebody wants me to go on their note the next day. But I tell you what I'll do. Everybody whose husband's been crushed under a car, you come and I'll go on your note tomorrow. Now, what are you going to do? A lot of you ladies are going to crush your husband under the car tonight. But I thought about that. And I thought about Stan. God bless Stan. What a fine fellow he is. And how many times he's been to my office and all the pastoring that's gone into Stan and Marlene and the boys. And how a time or two, I think I've even spanked the boys. I'm not sure. But some of the parents come and say, Brother Hiles, would you spank my boy? And a time or two, I've even done that, I think, and trying to help the boys. And as I saw Sully and Mrs. Sullivan come up, Sully was the groomsman, and saw all the memories and so forth with Sully and his wife. And then Mrs. Basham came. She was the matron of honor. And in all the weddings, she gives me Brazil nuts. I almost called them something else. You could call them in the new language Afro-American appendages, but anyway, she always saves the Brazil. I think I'm in trouble again. I'll be on the front page of Hammond Times tomorrow afternoon. But anyway, I am. Anyway, she always brings me to Brazil. She always works in the fellowship hall and takes care of the reception. And she came up, I fully expected to have some Brazil nuts up here as a matron of honor, but she disappointed me and didn't bring them up to the altar. But I thought about all the memories and all the counseling and so forth. Listen, when you invest your life in other people, that's the way you get happy. A young lady in our church came the other day and said, "Brother Hiles," I said, "how do you get happy?" I said, "You get happy when you live for others." But she said, "How can I do it?" And I said, I'll be glad to tell you. I said, "I'll make you a list and give it to you, how you can live for other people. Don't live for yourself. That's a wretched way to live. Don't live for yourself. That's an unhappy way to live. Bathe yourself." You know one reason I'm happy? I spend all my life, just about all my life, working with people in trouble. And after you work with them, you take Stan. I don't think it's wrong to say this. Is Stan not here, is he? Very good. Erase this out of the tape, if you would, please. But you take Stan. He's come to my office, and he said, "Brother Hiles, I'd like to get married someday." And we prayed about it and prayed for God to lead him to the right one. And for a while, we prayed for God to lead him to anyone. And we prayed. And it's like the lady who was 40 years old and hadn't married, and she was out in the woods praying for a husband, and she said, "Oh, Lord, give me a husband." And there was an owl up in the tree right above her. She said, "Whoo!" She said, "Just anybody, Lord. It doesn't matter." And it doesn't matter. And but we prayed together. And look, you invest your life like I've invested my life in Stan and Mrs. Henson, and you come to a wedding, you'll have more fun at a wedding than anybody else will at a picture show. Little Nazarene boy went to the picture show one time, came home and said, "Mama, if you'd ever go to the picture show one time, you'd never want to go to prayer meeting anymore." Now, that's not true. That's not true. Not if you invest your life in other people. You say, "I go to church and it's so hot, the air conditioner's not on." I know it's hot, and I'm sorry it's hot, but I can have fun when it's hot. And why? Because I can look around this room and have the biggest time of my life. You know why? I can look at some of these young people. I can look at, I can look at Bonnie Frangella. Bonnie, where are you tonight? Where is Bonnie? My Bonnie lies, there she is, back here. And I can just look at Bonnie Frangella and be blessed. Bonnie used to come to my office. Oh, she was hard. Can I tell them what you were going to do, Bonnie? Bonnie was going to, doing things that were wicked. And I said, "Bonnie, what you going to do with your life?" And she said, "Get me a car and just drive around the country and sleep in the back seat and go from town to town." And I said, "You mean you're going to live a life like that?" "That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do." "Are you going to live for God?" "No, I'm not going to live for God." And last year at the youth conference, somebody asked Bonnie if she'd work in the youth conference, and she came and worked. And the night that Dave preached, God got a hold of her heart. And oh, what a testimony she's had now for this year, and how sweet her life has been, and complete change look on her face. And she was chosen. What was she chosen? She was chosen the... What was your title, Bonnie? Homecoming Queen at the high school. And I sat in my office and just had a spell and clapped my hands and rejoiced when I heard about it. Not that the rest of you shouldn't have had Homecoming Queen. I was just glad to see somebody whose life was completely changed. Listen, you won't know real joy till you start living for somebody else. This whole thing of I live for myself and they didn't treat me right. And one fellow the other day said, "I was absent from the church and I only got 2 contacts in 3 months. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. I think you should have gotten some more. But let me ask you a question. How many contacts did you make in the last 3 months? "Well, I was absent 3 Sundays in a row. Nobody even called me on the phone." You know what I'd like to say to you? Miserable wretch. Unhappy? Surely you're unhappy. Look, you ought not to be happy because of what folks do to you. Be happy what you do for somebody else. Lose yourself in the work of Christ and lose yourself in Jesus. There's a second thing. Lose yourself in a person. A while ago when I got righteously indignant, that's what I get. You get mad. I get righteously indignant when I got mad a while ago. I said, lose yourself in a cause.
Lose yourself in a cause.
I mean, bathe yourself in a cause. Decide that you're going to spend your life in a certain cause, and if you'll do it, nothing will make you unhappy. You'll find your life when you lose yourself in a cause. I said this morning, and I'll say it again tonight. Yesterday was the kind of day when everybody that came to my office, nearly everybody, told me somebody who hated me. One after another came in, and even if they said they love me, they said, "I love you," in spite of the fact everybody else hates you, you know. Makes you feel so wonderful and so forth. And it's one of those days when it seemed like that everybody kindly and courteously. But you know why I'm not going to commit suicide? Huh? You know why I didn't lose any sleep about it last night? You know, last night I said, "Now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul," and that's about it. Huh? You know why? Because I've lost myself in a cause. I decided years ago I was going to do my best to influence the preachers of this nation and do my best to try to save this nation and save our young people. And anybody that knows anything about me knows that my heart is in this work and my heart is in trying to stir preachers. I spend 5 days a week trying to build our people and 2 days a week trying to stir preachers across this country. And why don't you shoot yourself? I'll tell you why. I haven't got time to fret and worry about a bunch of people nipping at my heels. I've lost myself in something I'm trying to do. And if you'll lose yourself in a cause, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. Yeah, I know what they say. I know what they say about my soul winning. I know what they say about our buses. You know what I'm going to do? Keep on soul winning and running buses.
Amen.
Say, well, how? Doesn't it worry you that folks hate you? Well, I wish they wouldn't hate me, but it doesn't worry me a great deal. I haven't got time. You know why? I've lost myself in a cause. A fellow who's playing basketball for the championship or plays in the Super Bowl, you know, Larry Zonka hits the line. He doesn't come back and say, "That tackle didn't speak to me." He may be glad he didn't, because I know what that tackle usually says when he speaks to folks. No, the honest truth is he's lost in a cause. Did you ever see a football player or a basketball player play a whole game and find out after the game he had a broken arm or a broken nose? What happened? He lost himself in a cause. Dr. John Rice played a whole football game back in 1823. played tackle on a football team. Dr. John Rice, for a whole game, he played his fiance was in the stands. It's now Mrs. Rice. And he said she had on a certain pretty yellow blouse, and he was trying to impress her. And he said that he ran through and blocked a kick. When he blocked the kick, somebody hit him and broke his nose. He said he played the whole game, didn't even know it. He's wanting that girl in the yellow blouse to think he's a good player. And every time you do something good, look up that girl in the yellow blouse and smile. And then she'd wave at him like that. That's as near as you can come to the real thing when you're John Rice's family or in Hiles Anderson College. But what happened? Played the whole game. Broken nose. Didn't know his nose was broken. The game was over. Why? Lost himself in a cause. One time, I know what folks say about me. Yeah. The fellow said, he's a newspaper editor in this area. Last week, I paid my respects and plan to keep on paying my respects to the dirty playboy bunnies out here performing in Thornton Fractional South High School. A shame and disgrace to our neighborhood. And of all places, Lansing, what I consider one of the nicest, cleanest towns in this entire area, and the Thornton Fractional South, inviting a bunch of sex-oriented playboy bunnies from the dirty Hugh Hefner philosophy and to make a little money and play in the Chicago Bears, and those little gals flitting around and showing their hips and their thighs and their breasts. Listen to young folks, their hips and their thighs and their breasts and while men's minds dwell in the gutter. And you say, well, they don't. You're sick. You know better than that. Not a red-blooded man in this room. What doesn't know? He couldn't sit up there in the stands and watch a bunch of playboy bunnies flitting around the court, shaking their bodies and exposing their bodies and playing basketball without having lustful thoughts. Not a one of you could do it if you're normal. And so editor of a certain paper said, "I'm going to write an article against Father Hiles." Let him go ahead. I mean, boy, if being against the dirty playboy bunny philosophy makes him write an article, put it in the headlines! Put it in the Hammond Times! Hiles hates Hefner's philosophy! Put it on the front page. Go ahead!
As long as you tell the truth about it, let the whole world know. I hate that kind of filth and garbage. You ought to, too. And I wonder sometimes when other preachers say, well, what's wrong with Hiles? I wonder, what's wrong with them? Martin Niemöller, a German theologian many years ago, a number of years ago, fought the Adolf Hitler philosophy and the ruthlessness of Adolf Hitler. They put him in prison. A chaplain came to visit Martin Niemöller while he was in prison. The chaplain looked at him and said, you're in prison. Why are you here? And Martin Niemöller looked out and said, let me ask you a question, chaplain. Why are you not here? And I stand up and fight and fight what's going on. Listen, let me read you something. There's a drugstore less than a mile from where I stand right now. Let me first, before I go into this, let me just preface my statements. Now, I don't want you laughing at this. I've never bought a Playboy magazine. I've never read a Penthouse magazine. I have seen the covers when I buy newspapers in airports across the country. I have never read an article or thumbed through a dirty Playboy magazine. I wanted to for this sermon tonight. I wanted to do it, but I was afraid I wouldn't. And so I got somebody to do it for me on the road when I was traveling. I got somebody that wouldn't live in this town to thumb through it. And I want to tell you what the report they gave me. Playboy magazine shows pictures of women completely in the nude. Now, I mean, it shows them from the side view, from the front view. I'm going to be very frank tonight. I want you to listen to me. Because these things are being sold right here in our neighborhood. And I'm going to say tonight that we ought to covenant ourselves. We're not going to support nor purchase or patronize institutions that sell this kind of garbage anymore. So the Playboy magazine shows women completely nude, back pose, side pose, and front pose. I don't mean with a fig leaf covering the lower extremities. I don't mean with a little kind of a garment covering the breast. I mean everything the woman has is exposed in Playboy magazine, picture after picture after picture. This man told me they'll take a girl, call her Bunny of the Month, and they'll have her all different poses. Now, they'll even take that girl nowadays, so he told me, and will have her spread her legs apart and take a picture of her sitting down. That's in Playboy magazine. Now, that's the magazine published by the dirty, filthy crowd that is being honored and displayed at Thornton Fractional Sound. Now, brother, if that makes me a rabble-rouser, I hate that kind of stuff, I aim to rabble and rouse as long as I preach and as long as I live. Yeah, I know, you say, Brother Hiles, you understand, the Junior Chamber of Commerce is sponsoring it. I don't care if they're the Senior Chamber of Commerce. It's as rotten as hell. Came from hell. And everybody who lives in Lansing ought to find out who sponsors it and what the businesses are and make your feelings known. Penthouse magazine is another one. Penthouse magazine shows naked men and naked women in romantic poses together. There's a magazine spelled Q-U-I. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. One named Q. One named Genesis. Now then, there is a drugstore less than a mile from where I'm standing right now that sells Playboy, Penthouse, Q-U-I, Q, and Genesis. All of them displayed at the checkout counter. Now that means when your young boy goes to that drugstore with you, while you're getting checked out, he has to look at that kind of garbage whether he wants to or not. And I went down to that drugstore recently and stood there for a while and watched a teenage boy open these magazines and look at these pornographic. And by the way, you young people, you boys that get these little magazines and you hide them and look at them and take a peep at them, God's going to judge you for that. You mark it down. Rise up out of the gutter. And by the way, you men, the same thing. You men that'll hide it between the Saturday Evening Post.
I've got more respect for a fellow who looks at it right in the open. And I saw that 13-year-old boy stand there for 5 minutes while I was there, and he was still there when I left, thumbing through this kind of garbage and filth. And yet, we patronize that kind of a place. It's right there where the boys can see it. There is a department store in this area, less than 3 miles from where I'm standing right now, who has displayed on the checkout counters Playboy magazine and the QUI magazine. There is a drugstore less than 3 miles from where I'm standing right now who sells Playboy, Penthouse, and the QUI magazine. There is a store on Indianapolis Boulevard who sells Playboy, Playgirl. Now, let me say this. I asked a man what Playgirl was about. Now, look at this. Playgirl magazine has pictures of both male and female showing the sex organs of male and female together. You see, a lot of us who all we ever read is the Bible and the Sunday school outline on Wednesday night, we don't know what's going on. I hope you don't. But I want you to know tonight what's going on. And I want you to know, unless God's people in this area and a church the size of this can carry some influence. If we'll stay tonight with the grace of God, every time we walk in the drugstore, we're going to check the magazine rack and find out. And by the way, this place on Indianapolis and Sandy, where are you? That place, was that a drugstore? I know the name of the place. A grocery store on Indianapolis. Guess where Playboy, naked women, showing all their bodies. Penthouse has naked men and naked women. And Gallery magazine and the Playgirl magazine has poses of many naked men with a sex organ showing. And right in our city. Department stores, grocery stores, and drug stores are selling. And this grocery store on Indianapolis Boulevard, guess where they have the naked women, the Playboy, the Playgirl, the Gallery? Guess where they have it? Right under the candy counter. Now, when you check out in a department store and see it, ask for the manager. Now, don't be mean to him. Don't be unkind to him, but be firm. Walk up to him and say, I want to trade at this store. I like your merchandise. I've traded here before. But I cannot allow my children to come in here and see this kind of filth while I'm getting checked out of this store. And I cannot allow my children to buy a candy bar and have to look at filth while they do it. And until you quit selling this kind of magazine, I'm trading somewhere else. Now, this many people in this house tonight to make those decisions, and every time you see a place like that, you complain about it. We could make some changes in this area. We could. That's why the hippies are being heard. They've demonstrated. They've complained. They've made their voice known. Right. It's time decent people are heard once in a while. I've got more respect for this dirty hellhole down here on State Street where this dirty, wicked-minded, sex-crazed heathen and pagan has come in and put the topless female shining shoes for $3 a shine. I've got more respect for that hellhole than I have a man who will put the Playboy magazine on the candy counter. At least you know what you're going in there to get. I've got more respect for the Calumet Theater, and God knows I hate that hellhole. It ought to be against the law, and I can't understand why somebody can't close a thing down. But I've got more respect for that than I do a grocery store man or a druggist that'll put Playboy magazine where little 14-year-old boys and little children have to look at it as they walk out the store. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's face it. You say, Brother Howes, they'll hate us. I got news for you. They already do. Well, you say, we'll get unpopular. Well, bless God, everybody in the Bible was unpopular who stood for righteousness. Now, it's time we got heard. It's time we spoke up. Now, I don't want you to go somewhere and act, say, I just thank the dear Lord Jesus He delivered me from that. I don't want you to do that. I want you to walk up like a gentleman. I want you to say my name and give your name. And I trade here. And I like your merchandise. And I want to continue trading here. But I believe this is filth.
And I can no longer bring my family in this store if they've got to look at a naked woman when they buy candy or get checked out. Thank God. There are some places. I had one of the ladies on our staff this week do some checking. I won't embarrass Sandy Shellhart, but I'll tell you. I've got a list of stores here. And I had her check on some stores. And I fired her, by the way, because I simply cannot have a person on the staff that goes around looking at these dirty magazines all day long. No, she didn't look at the magazines. She didn't look at them. I had a man in another city do that. She didn't look at them. But she did check to see what stores sell them and what stores don't sell them. And thank God there's some places that don't sell them. And for example, the A&P store on Soul, Mays Department Store on Soul, the Kmart in Indianapolis, Walgreens in the Woodmar Shopping Center, a National Supermarket in Woodmar, all of these places had none of these books for sale. Now, I'm not saying that all their books, all the books they had were scriptural Bible books, and I'm not saying they featured blue denim and lace. But I am saying they didn't sell a one of these magazines. Now, brothers and sisters, listen to me. Those bunnies over there in the Thornton Fractional South High School, they come from the same septic tank that Playboy magazine comes from. Same one. Same one. It almost is beyond comprehension to me that anybody with any decency or character at all would hire and pay a bunch of strip teasers to come and show off their bodies in a high school gym. Now, let me say this. You said, Brother Hiles, I think... After every sermon like this, I get some real helpful letters. Why don't you preach the Bible and leave stuff like this alone? Let me ask you a question. Is that the only area in which you're an idiot? Or are you an idiot in other areas too? You don't know ABC about the Bible if you don't think this kind of preaching is in the Bible. You read Jeremiah. You read Isaiah. You read Daniel. You read Micah. You read Joel. You read the Old Testament prophets, and you'll find that the men of... You read the sermons of John the Baptist, and you'll find that men of God have always been men who fought in righteousness and exalted righteousness. And if we don't have some prophets in this neighborhood to cry aloud, if every preacher in this neighborhood does start crying aloud, they're going to take over. Now, they are. They just are. You mark it down, they're going to put naked women in our newspapers if we don't do something while they got them in magazines. They're going to do it. Let me say this. If you are a member of First Baptist, now get this real right now, because I want you to be sure when you call on the telephone tomorrow and tell everybody, I want you to have the quote word for word. If you are a member of this church and you are for the Playboy magazine naked woman, naked man philosophy, you would do yourself a favor and this church a favor if you would find you some church that's as pagan as you are and join it. Shall I repeat that so you can get it accurate when you call on the telephone tomorrow? I'm saying First Baptist Church of Heaven is not built on that kind of garbage and filth. Well, you say, Brother Hines, I bring my friends here to visit in our church, and you come off with a tirade like this. Don't blame me for the crowd you run with. Then 9 years ago, I started preaching some stuff, and I haven't changed it, and I don't aim to change it. Now, if the Junior Chamber of Commerce in Lansing don't like it, they're not going to change it. And if the editor of the newspaper and the president of the bank and all the rest of them don't like it, I mean, they have no choice in the matter, brother. I mean, I will not be bought. I will not be scared. I will not be afraid. I'll not be chased off. The Playboy philosophy is sending America to hell. Our kids are... hooked, line, and sinker, swallowing it, and our men are eating that kind of garbage up. I stayed not long ago in a big hotel. I walked in the room, and they had an advertisement. They said, movies shown on television in this room. You call and tell the desk clerk that you want to watch a certain movie. And these movies were advertised as being movies that showed men and women disrobing and committing sexual acts, and every room in this giant hotel had this kind of filth piped into the room. Now, brother, I told you the other day, I was watching the noon news and saw a woman bare her breast on the news on television on Channel 5. You know what they're doing? They're testing to see how much they can get by with. They're just testing here and testing here. And if we don't start barking, brother, they're going to splatter this thing for all of our kids, and we'll have to move to some desert island somewhere to keep our kids from seeing filth and garbage. 29 years ago, I started. And by the way, right and wrong have not changed in the last 29 years. They've not. If Playboy magazine was rotten when it was sold under the counter, it's rotten now. Well, I can recall when I used to preach against Playboy magazine, when every female in there, you know, these little Playboy calendars, you used to have to see where you went. They had bikinis on or bathing suits on, very revealing, but they didn't have any nude pictures. Now, if I preached against it when the pictures weren't nude, you think I'm going to be bought off and shut up when the pictures are nude? No, I'm sorry, I'm not. Now, if they want to put me in jail, put me in jail. But I am not going to stand up before 2,000 people every Sunday night without warning you about what's going on in this country. I'm saying, if you want to mount to something, and if you want to be happy, lose yourself in a cause. Lose yourself in something. And I've lost myself in preaching unrighteousness. And by the way, if anybody in our college thinks this is not scholarly, you find you some other place to go or teach. And if anybody doesn't think this is your kind of preaching, you're in the wrong school. And don't you wait till the end of the year to resign. You resign tonight. Lose yourself. A young lady came to my office last night, and I have to tell you this. She goes to a local high school. She wanted to go to Hammond Baptist, but she could not go. One of our fine young ladies. She decided that she was going to spend her senior year in the local high school. She had to. She decided she was going to live like Christ would want to live, and that she was going to live according to Hammond Baptist High School regulations and rules, even though she went to a high school here within a mile of where I'm standing right now. And that little lady has kept her dresses right down to her knees, just like she's in Hammond Baptist. And that little lady has not bowed her knee to Baal. And she has been laughed at, and they make fun of her, and they've cursed her preacher and her church and criticized. And bless God, I want that kind of crowd to touch me. I hate to think a fella can run a dirty sex-crazed movie less than a half mile where I'm standing and not curse me. I hate to think a fella could run an adult bookstore less than 5 blocks from where I'm standing and not curse me. And that little girl, young lady, senior in high school, is gone, and she's kept her colors. She said last night with tears in her eyes, she said, "I'm so glad it's almost over." And she's going to get to go to Hiles Anderson College next year. And she said, "I just can't wait. I just can't wait." And God bless her. When the time came, she stood, and they laughed at her and made fun. But time came to elect, I think, as a homecoming queen at this Hammond High School, one of the Hammond High Schools. She was chosen as the queen. And you know, when they crowned her as the queen, they didn't play some filthy song or some rock music. As she came out on the gymnasium floor to be crowned, they played "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." They knew whose side she was on. Oh, let me tell you, lose yourself in a cause. But you say, "I'd be unpopular at work." Lose yourself in a cause. But you say at school, they make fun of me. Lose yourself in a cause. Lose yourself. He said, "Brother Howes, don't you worry because folks hate you." I did what would worry me. If I trim what I knew tonight, I ought to preach and had to preach to make a friend here and there. Of course, they're not real friends, but if I knew to get popular, I'd trim what I knew I ought to preach tonight. And I went home and laid down the rest of the night. I'd toss and tumble all night long for the fact that I'd been unfaithful to what I knew God wanted me to preach. Why in the world should a fellow have to be considered a rabble-rouser who believes who hates the Hugh Hefner Playboy philosophy? Why should a fellow be a rabble-rouser who hates nudity? lose yourself in a cause. Number three. Invariably, people say when they come like this, well, I came to visit and I was considering your church. You think I'm going to join after that sermon? If you don't like it, I don't want you to join. Well, you say I'd put in $50,000 a year. Take your dirty money and run off with it. You won't buy me off, brother. A fellow walked this aisle and he said, I'm a manager of a big business in this area. Nationwide. Stood right there at that altar. Nationwide business. I want to join this church. I said, why are you joining? He said, because I head a big business. And he said, our instructions are to join the biggest church in the area because we'll get more customers. And I said, you see that aisle? He said, yes. I said, turn around and go right back that way. And don't you ever come down this aisle unless I see some tears in your eyes. Lose yourself in the will of God. Madam Chiang Kai-shek tells a wonderful story. One time in China, there was an earthquake raging. There was a man who lived up on a highland farm, way up on a hill, overlooking the shore. And during the earthquake, he looked down and saw that the ocean was about to come and the waters were about to destroy the houses and kill the people that were down on the shore. The man up on the highland farm didn't know how to get the people to come. He had no way in the world he could signal those people. Looking down, he saw the waves rolling, and he knew in just a few an hour or so probably, not many minutes anyway, he knew that the water would come from the ocean and kill thousands of people whom he loved and knew. He could only think of one way. He set his rice barn on fire. He set his rice barn on fire and began to ring the fire bell. And the people from down in the lowlands, not knowing that they're about to be killed, they saw that their neighbor's fire was burning, their barn was burning, rice barn was burning, and they heard the fire bell. And they took their firefighting equipment, and all the neighbors came from the lowlands and ran up the hill to extinguish the fire of the fellow who lived on the highlands. And they got up there just about the time the water came that would have killed them had they not gone to help their neighbor. Don't you see what I'm saying? When they decided to go to the high spot and help their neighbor, they found life for themselves. And that's the way it is for Jesus. When you decide to serve Him and lose yourself in the will of God, you will find life. Help others and go higher and you'll save your own life. Philip Brooks was a wonderful philanthropic kind of a person. He lived his life for others. When Philip Brooks died, his oldest son said to Dr. McVickers, he said, Dr. McVickers, my father could have lived longer and have saved himself many years if he hadn't have given so much of himself to others. My father would not have died so young. He could have saved himself. And Dr. McVickers looked at the son whose father had died and said, yes, indeed. But had he saved himself, he could not have been Philip Brooks. Had he saved himself, he could not have been Philip Brooks. Now look at me. I want to be the man, the Jack Hiles, that God wants me to be. I want to be the Jack Hiles that doesn't change his message for good or bad because someone is present. I want to be the Jack Hiles that God... I want to lose myself in Jesus. I want to lose myself in a cause. I want to lose myself in the will of God. And if you'd ever know that, ever know it, be amazed. You recall when Daniel was tested. Daniel had prayed with his face turned toward Jerusalem. And they passed the rule that anybody that did that would have to be cast in the lion's den. Daniel didn't start praying when they made that rule. He just didn't quit praying when they made that rule. He had lost himself. He had lost himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I want this church to lose itself in Jesus. I want us to lose ourselves in the cause. I want us to lose ourselves in the will of God. You're not going to be happy till you do. You can be happy if folks don't like you. You can be happy if your family doesn't understand you. You can, if all it matters is to please Jesus. I'll close with this. There have been a few times in my life when
losing myself in a cause has caused a bit of a penalty to have to pay. I recall being awakened one morning by Joe Boyd. And Joe said, "Jack, they're going to take action against you at a Baptist meeting today because of your stand against liberalism and your unwillingness to support a liberal program." I got in my car. I drove over to a certain big church in Dallas, Texas. A fellow stood up and took action, led the group to take action against me because of the stand I'd taken. I looked in the front of me, and down the road there was one of the young men whom I'd won to Christ in Little East Texas Country Church. One of my boys. I won his wife to Jesus, won her entire family to Jesus. I fed them when they were hungry. I performed the ceremony when they got married. He was a music director in a church in Dallas. In the darkest hour of my life, he didn't even stand up and say, "I love Jack Hyatt." One of my boys on the mission field today. He didn't even come by and shake my hand after it's all over. And I went to my study, and I thought it was ended. In less than 24 hours, I had received telephone calls from every place where I was going to preach, canceling out my speaking engagement. My entire engagement was wiped clean in one day. Everybody who was going to come to our church called and canceled their meetings out and did not come to our church. And I turned my face toward the wall. And I saw a figure. And the figure had nails in its hands. It had a crown of thorns on its head. And I said, "Jesus, what are you doing here?" And Jesus said, "I've been here all the time. I've been outside the gate. They hated me. They put me on a cross, planted a crown of thorns and put it on my head. If you ever want to know Jesus real well, you're going to have to lose yourself. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." "How you doing, fella? What's your trouble? What's your trouble?" "My name's Isaiah." "Isaiah, they're stoning you. Do you know that?" "Yeah, I know they're stoning me." "Isaiah, what for?" "Because I preached to get the truth. And they hissed at me, and their words are like briars." "Isaiah, how do you take it? How can you stand it with all the people hating you?" Isaiah looks up and says, "I'll tell you how I stand it. Back yonder one day I saw the Lord high and holy and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And one glimpse of him and the fellowship with him, that's enough. I see a little Jew standing outside the gate of Jerusalem. 'What's your name?' I asked." He said, "My name is Stephen." "Stephen, what's the matter with you?" "I've been stoned. I'm dying. In fact, I see Jesus right now. I see the glory of God and Jesus standing on his right hand." "You're wrong, Stephen. You're all goofed up, because the Bible says he sat down on the right hand of the Father when he finished the work." "Yeah, I know he sat down, but when he saw me coming home, he stood up to welcome me home." And "Stephen, what's wrong with you?" "Well, I preached the Sanhedrin. I told them about their sins, and I said, 'You've taken Jesus and with your own hands have crucified him.'" "Stephen, how do you stand it?" "I'll tell you how I stand it. If you'll just look up there." "Well, you can't see him, but I can see him. I stand it because I've got a glimpse of Jesus and I've seen him." "How do you stand it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire furnace? Furnace is not so hot because we see the fourth, the Son of Man, is in the fire furnace with us. How do you stand it there, Paul? How do you stand it on the Damascus Road? How do you stand it?" "I stand it because I saw Jesus, and I saw him, and I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' I stand it because I saw him in the third heaven. I was caught up into the third heaven. I saw Jesus." "That's how I stand it." "How do you stand it, John? Exiled on Patmos by yourself. Nobody to preach to. Nobody to fellowship with. How do you stand it?" "How do you stand it? Because I see the glory of God and I've seen Jesus. That's how I stand it." "How do you stand it, Moses? How do you stand it, Moses? Turn, folks hate you and make fun of you, and the whole Egyptian kingdom could have been yours. How did you take it?" "I took it because I endure as seeing him who is invisible." And let me tell you something tonight. There's some things more important than being popular. And there's some things more important than having pats on the back. I mean this tonight. I mean it. And God knows this is true. I'd let the dearest friend I have in this room turn his back on me tonight and walk out that door before I turn my back on the truth that I know God wants me to preach. I know it. I know it. I know it. And God knows it. I'd let every I let these deacons, and I mean I love these deacons. I've got the finest deacons in the whole world. But I'd let every deacon on this board turn his back and walk out that door and have a meeting tonight and vote to vote me out of the church. I'd do it in a minute before I'd turn my back on preaching what I believe God wants me to preach. I love this staff. I've got the most faithful staff in the whole world. Nobody has a finer staff than I have. But I'd let these men walk up tonight and spit in my face before I wouldn't preach what I believe. Why? Because 29 years ago I lost myself in a person. I lost myself in a cause. And I lost myself in the will of God. And I'm happy tonight. I'm happy. I mean that. I'm happy. You won't find a happier fellow than me. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because every time I get in a scrap and every time folks make fun of me and cuss me, I turn and hear Jesus say they cussed me too. And they made fun of me too. And I just want to snuggle up close to Jesus and lose myself in Him. And lose myself in the cause of propagating His truth and the message of God. And lose myself in His blessed will. Oh, dear friend, lose yourself tonight. Lose yourself. Lose yourself. Lose yourself. Lose yourself. Lose yourself. Forget yourself. Forget yourself. Forget yourself. Lose yourself in the will of God for your life. And you'll find what you've been looking for all the time. I found it. I've got it. A lot of you right here tonight, though you don't agree with all I preach, you'd give anything to feel like I feel. If you go to a doctor and he can give you a tonic to make you feel like I feel, you'd take it. I found what you're looking for. I've discovered the way of gladness. I've discovered the way of joy. I've discovered relief from sadness. 'Tis a happiness without alloy. What is it? Losing yourself in Him, in His will, and His call.